Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hi, folks. This is John Morgan Neal once again bringing you the Pro Wrestling Roundtable along with my trusty Robin to my Batman, the one and only Richard Yule. And we are going to continue a series on action figures and toys of wrestling history. And tonight we have a very excellent guest that we're going to talk to, Chris DiPetrillo, who represents Figures Toy Company, which has been a very major part of the action figures and of the new toys of wrestling. So sit back and give a listen, and we will probably learn something, folks.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One podcast network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net.
Hey, folks. This is the Pro Wrestling Roundtable, and now Richard is going to have a conversation and interview Christopher DiPetrillo from Figures Toy Company about the wrestling figures they do and lots of, and probably even other stuff. So, Richard, it's all yours.
Yeah, Chris, I want to thank you for coming on and joining us as part of our action figure series that we've been doing. And so thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, absolutely. Not my pleasure.
Yeah, so before we get too involved in the figures, let's find out a little bit about how long have you been with the company, and what your position at the company is, and then maybe a little bit about the company and what they do.
Oh, sure. So I've actually been with Figures Toy Company since my 19th birthday, which was in 1999. So I'm going on to my 18th year with the company. I got hired pretty much right after high school. Been a wrestling fan all my life, so I've been watching wrestling. I was born in 80, and I got started on watching World Class in syndication years ago, so I've kind of...
All right, now we're talking.
Yep.
You got John's attention now.
I've run the gamut of wrestling federations, and I've always been a fan all my life, never had any downtime or anything, so it was back in the day, our company, Figures Toy Company, it's also known as Figures Incorporated to a lot of old-time collectors, they had started as a mail-order catalog company, not just with wrestling, but with Masters of the Universe and superpowers figures, Star Wars, all sorts of stuff like that. So they used to advertise in the wrestling magazines, and the way I got the job was my buddy ordered a Hasbro Yokozuna figure, one of the rare ones from the later series, the Green Card series, and he realized that the P.O. box where you would send your money orders to was in the town next to where he lived. And I live in Rhode Island, so it's a fairly small state. You can drive through it within 45 minutes. So he gave him a call, and he's like, are you guys a store? Can I come pick this up? And they said, we've only got a warehouse, but you're welcome to come by. Just hit the buzzer, and someone will lead you in. We can pull the order for you while you wait. You don't have to pay the shipping charge. And while we were there, I saw an assortment of wrestling merchandise laid out because they just started diving a little bit deeper into wrestling merchandising. They had just gotten the license for ECW and WCW to do replica belts. So I noticed a pile of VHS tapes, start talking to my buddy, hey, remember Beach Blast 92 when Steamboat fought Rude and, you know, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And Anthony, who's the owner of Figures Toy Company, didn't know who he was at the time. He was just kind of like taken aback. He's like, how do you know all this stuff off the top of your head? And you know, you'll probably notice this during the conversation too. I'm just wired to be a pop culture junkie. If I see something that I like, I just kind of stick to it like glue and can memorize a lot of things. So I was saying, hey, you know, I'm a wrestling fan.
Anything about that sort of thing.
I'm like, you know, hey, I'm like, this is just my thing. You know, wrestling's something that I follow. And Figures Toy Company at the time was a very, you know, even to this day, it's a very inner circle type of company. It's, you know, people that he grew up with, it's family members, very tight knit, very, you know, very close with everybody there. And he's like, look, you know, I'm just starting to get into this wrestling stuff, but it's great to know that you're someone that knows something about it. He's like, you know, I can't say that I would definitely have a job for you, but leave me your information and I'll look in to see what I'm going to be doing. And not even 2 weeks later, gave me a call, said, can you come down and meet me tomorrow? Like I mentioned, it was my 19th birthday. I started on a handshake agreement, just kind of being jack of all trades, pull some orders, do some data entry, and grew with the company through the years to more responsibilities, handling much of the action figure and wrestling merchandise and delving into the other pop culture things that we carry. And now my official title is Chief Marketing Officer. So not only do I handle much of our media, any type of advertising or any type of interviews, podcasts, stuff like that, I am in charge of the wrestling action figure lines. Myself and my partner, Tony, which is the owner's son, we run the wrestling side of things pretty much and are responsible for developing all these new figures that you see coming out. And it's just it's been a pretty wild ride, and it's just getting better with all the stuff that we've got in the works.
Awesome.
Yeah, that sounds great. That is a cool story of just happenstance kind of thing, and then just grow with a company like that. And you are a pop culture kind of all jack of all trades, because I know you're on the Needless Things podcast sometimes, and Phantom Troublemaker's a friend of mine, so I listen to that regularly and hear your voice sometimes on there. So you were just on there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we just did the 1987 retrospective where I defended the Garbage Pail Kids movie as one of the better movies of all time as opposed to one of the worst.
I too, enjoy the Garbage Pail Kids movie, so I'm right there with you. So Figures Toy Company is sort of, you know, the figures are very retro as far as, you know, they remind you of the Mego figures with the cloth and stuff. And y'all have all sorts of license. Anything from, y'all do DC. I'd say one of your more popular lines is the Batman TV series. Would I be correct in saying that?
Oh, by far, yeah. The Batman classic TV series line and the Super Friends are probably by far the two most popular DC retro lines.
Yeah, they're very cool. And you all have a variety of the TV villains from the Batman show. I love the Vincent Price.
The Egghead figure, yeah.
Egghead. I'm in a desperate need for the Batman and Robin that fits the Batmobile. I have the Batmobile, but I don't have the right size Batman and Robin. Darn it.
we actually just put out three new Batmobiles and Batcycles.
Oh, really? Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, I want to mention the Stan Lee figure that is out.
Oh, shame.
Terrific. I mean, it is awesome. Were you involved in that? I mean, how involved are you of like the likenesses as far as like, did you meet Stan Lee? Did he come to the office, or how does that work?
The Stan Lee figure, I didn't handle that one directly. With the pop culture stuff like DC Comics, it's, I don't want to say hit or miss. That's not what I'm looking for. But it kind of all depends, because some things we'll dive in knowing what the plan is already, or knowing what what the license approval says we can do. And then other things, sometimes Anthony will work directly with someone like Stan Lee or with someone like Kiss. Anything with likenesses and things like that, they all have to go through approval. So with someone like the wrestlers, you know, for instance, Kenny Omega, Joey Ryan, you know, if I'm working with those guys, once the initial sculpt is created, they've got to sign off on it. They've got to say, okay, that looks good. Or if they say, hey, tweak the nose a little bit, make the eyebrow look like this. You know, we go full on with what they want us to do as far as input. And it's the same thing with the other licenses. You know, Stan, he worked with my boss as far as getting that figure done. I was unfortunately not able to meet him or anything like that. It was all worked out through his company, through Pyle Entertainment, and through him himself. And then with DC Comics, there's a style guide to follow. So a lot of the stuff that we do, because it's retro-inspired, like the Mego style, a lot of the focus is on the Silver Age, or in the case of, you know, the Super Friends, a classic cartoon, or the Batman TV show coming from the 60s. So that's kind of the era we focus on. Although we have started branching out a little bit, we did have a Harley Quinn figure that's actually now retired. We sold out of her pretty fast, although there is an exclusive done through one of our wholesale customers that they're offering. So, you know, we scatter a little bit of stuff out, and it just kind of depends. Hey, Chris, you know, what's your input on this? Or, hey, you need to work on this one. This is a project assigned to you. So with that stuff, it's 50-50. With the wrestling stuff, it's full steam ahead.
Cool. Yeah, I urge everybody to go check out the Stan Lee figure because I really dig it. I believe it just came out. And there's so many licenses. I mean, anything from Harry Potter to
the Monkees,
Mad Monsters, Kiss. I mean, it really is, kind of, we've noticed some of these companies like Funko and you guys where you just grab all these licenses and do all these crazy things with them. And I think it's a great variety of things that y'all produce.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much.
What's been on my radar the most recently is the Monkees because I'm a member of a big Monkees fan and a member of the Zilch group. And it comes up there quite a bit. And then also I listened to the Jim Cornette Experience. And, of course, he was very happy to have a figure from you guys of him that he's been talking about. So,
yeah, no, Jim's a great guy. In fact, we were kind of joking around a little bit earlier on Twitter because someone suggested doing a Vince Russo figure. And my response was, well, we've got a Jim Cornette figure, so we wouldn't be able to keep them in the same warehouse.
Yeah. Actually, I think I know that Jim retweeted that. I read that just today. As a matter of fact. Yes. Okay. I didn't even put that together, but yeah. Okay.
Jim is awesome. When we first signed him, he was one of the first guys I went after because, you know, being a wrestling fan, being a collector, I like to think that I've got my finger on the pulse of what people want to see as far as the talent that we offer. And he's a guy that hasn't had a figure since that one cheesy Jax figure about 20 years ago now. Yeah. I know that that Jax had one planned for him and it got canned when they started phasing out the TNA line. They were doing that TNA Legends line themselves. So he was actually one of the first handful that we went after, and he was very quick to sign on. He remembered us from when we had the WWF license and did the replica belts and everything. So, you know, we had that reputation in his mind, and he was more than happy to do it. I met him in person. He actually sent me the Midnight Express book along with a little note, like a personal note and everything. So I've actually got that book with a personal note from him. And like I was mentioning, with the approvals and the likenesses and stuff, what I did was I went through the book, through all his personal photos that were in there, picked out the outfit from the book, got him to say, hey, that's perfect, let's go with that. Got the images to use for making the classic Cornette. He said, hey, that's perfect, let's roll with that. And now we got a Jim Cornette figure, and he was, you know, he's plugs away with us all the time.
And that's a rare book. You can't buy that one anymore.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that's definitely a cornerstone of my little collection.
Wow. Very nice.
So I didn't realize this until our other co-host, Jonathan, who could not make it tonight, but we were talking a few weeks ago because we knew we were going to have you on the show. So you guys actually had a wrestling line back in the late 90s, right? 99, 2000? Were you part of the Abdullah the Butcher figures and stuff like that?
Yep. When I first got hired by Figures Toy Company, that was right when the King Kong Bundy came out. There was the King Kong Bundy, and then there was the autographed one that he did for us in the Bloody Variant. And then Abdullah was the second one. So I got on board right around the time that was in development. All the ones that came after that, I actually started getting my input that far back. I'm the one that said, let's do Ricky Steamboat and Eddie Gilbert. Those are two of my top choices for the Legends line.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, a lot of those old, I hate to call them cheesy, but looking back on them, you know, just with, you know, with collector's eyes, looking back at what was available at the time, they kind of matched up with the bone crunching. But, you know, they're kind of cheesy and fun little figures now. But it's funny because we had made, you know, a fair amount of them. And, you know, obviously when Segregation style figures took on like Superstars, people weren't as interested in the line got phased out. And I know people that can't find some of them now. And, you know, they were, you know, very readily available. We had them all in stock, you know, for ages at one point. And Kurt Hawkins is someone who I befriended early in the development of this line. The Brian Myers figure is one of the first ones that we did. And as a lot of people know, him and Zack Ryder are huge figure collectors. And he actually asked me, he's like, do you have any of those Legends that you did? Like, do you have any of your own? Do you have any at the office? And I was like, we don't really have any of those. Like, there's a couple still hanging around, but not like a full set or anything. And he's like, man, he's like, I can't find that Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. I need that Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. So there's actually still people kind of going backwards looking to recollect them. And I don't know if it's just the nostalgia, the way people kind of go backwards and like to fill the void in their collection, or if it's the buzz that the new Legends line caught. But there's definitely people getting those back on their radar.
Oh, I definitely think nostalgia is one of those things. And just in conversation, you know, we had our first action figure series talk last week, and it was on the LJNs, which I never had growing up, you know, the big rubber wrestlers. And it turns out that, like, 2 days later, I was on one of these, yard sale site things, and this guy was selling a whole lot of them, so I bought them, and it's just been great. So now I'm going back and trying to find the rest. So yeah, I mean, I totally think that's the same thing. You know, I remember having the Abdullah the Butcher, the Bloody Variants. Yeah, I just remember those figures a lot, but I did not correlate them to being you guys, so I was kind of shocked by that. But very cool. But yeah, you're right, they were readily available, and now really not. I don't see them ever anywhere. So,
no, even like I'll even look on eBay myself, because, you know, over time, just, you know, like sometimes, you know, things happen in life, and, you know, through moves and relationships and things like that, I lost track of some things or wound up getting rid of things. And I like to look back and like to kind of, you know, recoup my losses and get some stuff. And even like looking up a couple of those, just knowing we don't have them, there was a time where I didn't see an Eddie Gilbert on eBay for like 6 months, and then like one popped up, and I think it went for like $40. And I'm like, wow. I used to have two of these just standing on my desk. And now, you know, he's like a rare breed now. And, you know, I don't know what would ever happen in the future, just because I know how tough it can be to try to get the rights from someone's estate. And I don't even know, if his brother or whoever would control it now, if he'd ever be someone that we did in the future. But that might go down in history as the only Eddie Gilbert figure.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't know. You're right. Is it Doug Gilbert's or somebody else? Who would control that? I don't know. I do know that those LGN figures are freaking indestructible. Yeah. I the only one I ever had is a Greg Valentine that I still have, and you could actually literally murder somebody with that thing.
Yeah, those things were like throwing bricks across the living room. Yeah. I had my fair share of them. I remember the first two I ever got was Hulk Hogan and Big John Studd, so it was just like doing body slams and power slams and right. Hitting the rug with a thud.
Yeah. So how did you guys are fastly becoming one of the best wrestling figure companies, for the simple fact that, I mean, yes, you obviously don't have the WWE license, but you have all these others license, you know, for independent guys, and the Ring of Honor license as well. But you do have a couple of WWE guys, just because you signed them long ago, produce, you know, obviously it can take years to do a figure. So you actually have a Kevin Owens, or should we say Kevin Steen, figure out.
Yep. Yeah. Kevin Steen, when we first got the Ring of Honor license, the big difference with everything, and this was something that supposedly WWE themselves even put out there, whether it was misinformation or to kind of get people against us, you know, I'm not sure what the situation was. So with Ring of Honor, that's a company license. So Ring of Honor as a brand, as a company through Sinclair, is licensing out what they have permissions and rights to do, be it action figures, accessories, anything of that nature. So when we first started doing it, the one caveat to the licensing was they wanted me to focus on the guys that had full-term contracts. So at the time, guys like Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, the Motor City Machine Guns, they weren't under full-time contracts. They were still kind of just appearing, you know, and they were still doing the indie thing or kind of sitting out or, you know, whatever the case may have been. So looking at the guys that were full-term, you had guys like the Briscoes, Adam Cole, Kevin Steen was still there. He was one of them. So when we were negotiating and getting the license, I said, you know what, we've got to do Kevin Steen in series one, because he's pretty much the biggest star in ROH at this point. You know, we've got to get him out there right off the bat. Plus, it's going to be a first-time figure. Obviously, his life went in another direction. He wound up in WWE, wound up becoming very successful. He's a top guy there. But like you said, production on a figure, usually from start to finish, from just the initial concept art and getting the sculpt done and everything, going through approvals, going through mass production, it can take about a year to get it in stock, which is the same for even a more bigger company like Mattel, because you'll notice the figures that you see on the shelves are usually about 6 months to a year out of date stylistically now, and still get an Alberto Del Rio on the shelf, or you can get a Seth Rollins who's in his attire from SummerSlam last year. So even though people think, oh, you know, you're making a figure of a guy who left, or oh, your time frame is off, well, Mattel's doing the same thing. It's just less noticeable because there's so many at mass retail. So with Kevin Steen, when he jumped to WWE, NXT and everything, we had released the preview image of his figure, and WWE or somebody, you know, it's the internet rumor mill, so you got to take everything with hearsay, but they were saying, oh, they locked him into a deal because they knew he was going to WWE and they're getting all these indie guys on board and they're trying to lock him in and they're taking advantage of guys that are on Raw. So we hear that Tyler Black and Claudio Castagnoli are going to be done. And it's like, listen, if Jerry McDevitt, who went through a steroid trial and all these other trials, is supposed to be the super lawyer, then you should know right off the bat that if you've got someone under contract, you own their likeness right now for merchandising. So if you've got Seth Rollins, if you've got Cesaro, you know I can't go doing Tyler Black or Claudio Castagnoli. That just can't happen. If that's the case, you'd have every Tom, Dick, and Harry toy company making John Cena figures and making $1 million off it. So that misinformation was out there, and I went and I made the rounds. I went on Wrestling Observer Radio and some other podcasts and was like, you know, I'm going after the guys that, you know, as a brand with Ring of Honor, with that licensing, I don't want to capitalize on anyone who's jumping ship. I want these guys to build the Ring of Honor brand. Ring of Honor is a company that I've been following since its inception. It's an original idea. They've never had toy figures before. Why not get these guys who are popular, who have that underground buzz, who have that indie notoriety? Because the hardcore collectors, that's what we're gearing to. Even with the pop culture figures, like, you know, the Mego line, that, you know, if you get a 15-year-old kid who's collecting Mattel figures, he really doesn't know about Mego unless he's a real diehard that's getting it from his dad or a family member or something like that. So, you know, it's a very, I wouldn't say it's a niche product because it appeals to a lot of people, but you've really got to kind of be in the know to know what's going on. So it's very different from the Mattel aspect and all that. Same thing with the indie guys. You know, there's no way to know when we signed AJ Styles or Doc Gallows that they were going to wind up in WWE. There was no way to know when, you know, I talked to Curt Hawkins for the first time that he was going back. He's actually been one of the biggest advocates for me, and I can't thank him enough because he went from being just a guy that I would have a casual conversation with to being a huge help and a big supporter. And he's someone that I can shoot a text message to and ask him for input, and he'll give me his honest opinion, or he'll shoot me something and say, hey, great looking figure, or hey, what's going on? Just, you know, looking for an update. You know, we'll have conversations. He's not just a guy that's like, hey man, thanks for doing my figure, see ya. Like, he was very actively involved. Guys like Joey Ryan, the Young Bucks, you see them on social media all the time, you know, catching that buzz for their figures. So that type of stuff is what I want to do, because not only are we helping them build their individual brand because they're not a licensed character, they're someone who's doing it on their own, but it's helping us build our brand even more, because indie wrestling is the thing that's catching everybody's attention these days. WWE will always be WWE, but you've got all these guys that are making a name on their own. And now we're helping them expand that by doing something that's never been done before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to talk about the Ring of Honor license a little bit. And as
real quick, when you was on WOR, were you able to get a word in edgewise over? Never mind.
I was able to talk over joking. Brian. Probably too much because I'm a bit of a chatterbox.
Oh, so you're talking to Brian. Okay, well, then. Yeah. Then my joke goes, Brian's all right, and I like you know who, but he, I just teasing him because he is a talker. So, but I can't. I am too. So I'm, you know.
I was going to say that's the pot calling the kettle black.
I just, it's just on my mind lately because, you know, when he was on Jim Cornette the two weeks ago, yeah, I wouldn't get a word in edgewise.
No, Dave's awesome. I actually go, I go to WrestleMania pretty much every year for the last couple of years, and I go with the Observer crew. I've been reading the Observer since I was 14, so I'm going on 23 years of being a subscriber to the Observer, and he's always been like super cool. And in fact, just a funny story was this year when I went down there, I was working WrestleCon. We actually had a Figures Toy Company table at WrestleCon. So I worked the Friday and the Saturday, and I kind of like ran over to the Observer dinner. They always do a group dinner every year when they do the trips. And Dave's at dinner and everybody's sitting and talking and everyone kind of branches off and most people are going to the Hall of Fame that night. And I said to one of my friends, like, you know, kind of like away from Dave for a second, I'm like, all right, I'm like, I'm heading over to the Super Show. Like, I'll meet up with you guys, you know, at the bar afterwards or something. And Dave's like, Chris, WrestleCon Super Show, is that the Hardys and the Lucha Brothers? And I'm like, yes, yeah, the main event. He's like, oh, can I ride with you? I'm like, I'm not driving. I didn't drive to Orlando. I'm about to call an Uber, but if you want to jump in, that's cool. And long story short, jumps in the Uber, just kind of like, you know, shooting the breeze and got to actually sit and kind of take in the show with Dave. Which wow. was kind of surreal because to me, it's like he's writing the newsletter in his head as he watches it. Like he's very focused.
Sure he is. I'm sure he's paying attention, knowing what he's going to write later, making notes in his head. Yeah.
It was very cool because there was the 10-man tag with Ricochet's team versus Will Ospreay's team. Mm-hmm. So it was a very PWG-esque match. So it was just kind of cool to be there with him for that because PWG is kind of like his thing. Yes. And, you know, obviously PWG is not touring. So, you know, I was jokingly saying that that was my PWG moment with Dave, like being there at a shoot with him and having that talent in the ring doing all that type of stuff.
Cool. That's very cool.
We had Jay Lethal on our show, I think back in December, and we talked to him about the figure, and he absolutely loved it. Yeah, January. He absolutely loved it. And, you know, he had already had a figure out, a couple actually from his TNA run, but it seemed like he really loved the idea of the figure's toy where it was more, you know, more of a figure where you could actually play with it, and it had the wardrobe, so it could be a nice collectible, too. But I wanted to talk about the faces as far as the realism. I noticed some of them carry the more realistic face, but then you have others that, like a Bobby Fish, is more cartoony. What is the thought process in that?
So with the figures, with the faces and stuff like that, every sculpt is done based on images submitted by the talent. So believe it or not, the images that we got from Bobby Fish was of him doing almost like the 8x10 studio shot type of stuff. But we'll get the behind the scenes images. Like as they take photos like that, they were taking up close images of the faces, of the tattoos, of the attire, everything we needed to create the initial design. So Bobby Fish actually had a mouthpiece in his mouth doing like that sneer, like that villainous type of sneer, because that's what he wanted for his figure. He wanted to project something other than just like a static stoic face. So some guys prefer to do that. Other guys want to have like a little bit of character to their face. But like I mentioned before, everything goes through them. So it's not like I would say, hey, Bobby, we need you to raise your eyebrow and stick your mouth guard in. That's all on him. You know, the Kenny Omega figures come out, and obviously that's very popular with all the buzz that he's getting. Yeah. But some people are like, well, that doesn't really look like Kenny. And it's like you also have to think of the time frame, because when he first started doing the cleaner gimmick, you know, dressing like Sylvester Stallone from Cobra, doing the sunglasses, doing the trench coat, his hair was not long and pulled back. It was much shorter like that. He was making more mean, kind of like gritty looking faces. He wasn't as over the top projecting as he does with like the elite stuff that he does now. So it's all a matter of timing. Kurt Hawkins, perfect example. He's got like a fuller beard, a little bit of longer hair now. Back when we first signed him was right after he left WWE. He didn't have the beard yet. His hair had just gotten buzzed on the side. So it's all a matter of timing and looking back to when that initial sculpt happened, because they are sculpted. They're not scanned like Mattel would do. You know, we don't have the laser technology or the real scan printing. Everything is actually done. And this goes to the Batman, the Kiss, all that stuff. It's all done by hand. It's all created by a style guide, or in the case of the wrestlers, by what they're submitting themselves. So they'll give us 5 or 6 headshots based on one look, side profile, back of the head for the hair, all that stuff. And the sculpt will be created off that. So once that sculpt is created, that's when I mentioned earlier, they'll say, can you tweak this? Can you tweak that? Can you do a little bit of this here? Then the sculpt will be painted and detailed. That gets approved. That goes into mass production for the head. We get the attire done. We get the style body made. You know, we made a lot of new body types for these characters. So like the Blue Meanie has the bigger body type, the Young Bucks have a slimmer body type, and then, you know, a year later, if you got your full figure. But everything from attire to head images, profile images and whatnot, is submitted by the talent themselves, or in Ring of Honor's case, they'll get it from the talent themselves, and everyone will have to sign off on it before we can move forward.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, that's great. I didn't realize all that, so that's nice to have a behind-the-scenes look at all that. So you mentioned all these guys, so and they're all over the place as far as Independence and Ring of Honor, so we'll just clarify for the people. There's, you have different series, so they don't blend in with each other. You have a Rising Stars of Wrestling figure series that has your guys like Kenny Omega that I desperately want. Tama Tonga, Cliff Compton, Doc Gallows, mm-hmm. Young Bucks. And I love the Joey Ryan figure.
That is just a great looking figure.
Yes, and you even put the chest hair on him. How could you not, right?
Yep, chest hair, members only jacket, just the right amount of sleeves for the action figure.
That's right. and also, the Legends of Professional Wrestling line, is there going to be a second series of that? I haven't heard any buzz on a second series, but in the first one, you've got, like you said, Blue Meanie, Jim Cornette, but also PJ Polacco, who was just incredible, if people don't know, and New Jack, which a New Jack figure is always welcomed.
Yep, there will be additional Legends figures. There's going to be a lot of figures coming out, because if you combine the three lines, with Ring of Honor, we've got figures planned for up through a fifth wave. So Series 2 just came out, so you're going to have quite a few more coming out for Ring of Honor. And obviously, same thing with Kevin Steen. If someone happens to leave Ring of Honor in the meantime, if that figure's in production, you're still going to see it. So I can tell you this has already been announced before, but there's going to be a throwback like 2005 pure title era Nigel McGuinness coming out, even though he's in WWE now. That figure will still be coming out with the blonde mohawk and the UK style t-shirt and everything. That's going to be in a future series. Roderick Strong is another one that will still be coming out. So, we showed the preview for Moose. He's in TNA. So a lot of these figures, think back to a year, year and a half ago, who was in Ring of Honor when I was booking these lines, and you'll still see a lot of those guys popping up. But there's also modern, War Machines coming out. I showed those previews not long ago, about 2 weeks back. With the Legends, there are additional ones coming out. I've shown previews. Actually, earlier today, I reposted the preview of the Jerry Lynn figure. Jerry Lynn, Franchise Shane Douglas, Mikey Whipwreck, Conan, and Juventud Guerrera are all planned and have all been announced. Obviously, looking to see what other names might be involved. We're trying to go low, not go low, but go easy on the signings right now, just while we can kind of get that backlog out to retail. Don't want to kind of, flood the factory with too much and put any delays on any of the existing production. And then with the Rising Stars, there's about another 20 to 24 coming out off the top of my head, but you've got Chuck Taylor, Sammy Callahan, Brian Cage, Ivelisse, Taya, Sanjay Dutt, Trevor Lee, Bull Dempsey, just a flood of guys, most of whom have never had a figure before. And then, like Sanjay. Sanjay is another one. Hasn't had a figure since the Toy Biz TNA ones that Lethal was originally in. So, it's really just wanting to target the guys. And obviously, not everybody's going to want to do it, but I can say that that's been few and far between. People will always make suggestions. Hey, you got to sign this guy. You got to sign that guy. But you've got to think, does this guy own his name? Like, what's going on? Does he want to do it? Does he want to do it for the budget that we have to do it? A lot of factors go into it. It's not just as easy as, hey, we're going to make this guy. Obviously, you've got to get the rights to do so. There's definitely a lot of guys I would love to do out there. A lot of licensing I'd love to do out there. It's just a matter of, in some cases, it's not if, just when. And in some cases, it's, let's try a little harder to secure this, because there's things out there that I'd love to do. I'd love to be able to do Pentagon someday. I'd love to be able to work with New Japan someday. Just a lot of stuff that's very strong in the hearts of wrestling fans that'll translate well to action figures.
Oh, a Lucha Underground line would be fantastic.
It would be absolutely fantastic. It's just that I don't think they know what they're doing yet.
Well, I can kind of see that too. And there's a lot, I'd say a lot of it is contracts and stuff like that. There's probably a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on that makes things much harder to do. But you mentioned...
I got three things.
What?
I got three things.
Go.
One, you were mentioning the process with the heads. Well, then the Adam West heads are amazing.
Thank you.
Number one. Number two... Does the New Jack figure come with a blade in his pocket?
His pockets are painted on, so you can use your imagination on that one.
Okay. Just in case he has a mass transit problem. This is good. Third, now that you've got the license for the franchise, hopefully y'all work on getting Chris Candido and Bam Bam Bigelow. So that we can.
I would love to do both of them. As a huge, dare I use the term Mark, but I am a huge Mark for ECW, especially Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas was one of my big ones, and now he's become one of my big gets. With Candido and Bigelow, that kind of falls in with the Eddie Gilbert stuff, just not knowing who to contact, you know, who to get a hold of. But with Bigelow, I think he'd be the toughest out of anyone because I know WWE still uses him in like the video games and stuff.
That's true.
So he might have merchandising rights. Yeah, that's true. They just did that Mattel one for the Walmart exclusive about a year ago. That's right. So they probably still have him because my favorite star of all time is Flying Brian Pillman. He's been my favorite since I was a little kid. So I honestly don't think that Jax or Mattel did a really good job on Brian Pillman. I would love to be able to do Brian Pillman, but I think he's one of those guys that's always going to be tied to WWE. I think that they just kind of, you know, his estate, his ex-wife, whoever's holding that, I think that they just kind of have faith in WWE to do whatever with Brian. But
I do happen like that loose cannon one that they did. The Legends series, I think it was.
Yeah, from like 2010.
It's got the jacket on and the, you know, the outfit that he was wearing right when he was right out of ECW going and starting in WWE. I like that one, but I think you're right about everything else. Yeah,
I've got every single one of them just because my dog who has since passed away. But my dog that was 12 years old when he passed away was named Pillman.
Yeah,
because that's how big of a Pillman fan I was.
I completely understand that because we're also doing this series on the Von Erichs, and when I was a kid, me and my brother named our German Shepherd Fritz, so I get it totally.
Nice. My favorite Pillman, though, not to get too far off course, but my favorite Pillman was the Toys R Us Hollywood Blondes 2-pack. That was my favorite. That's my favorite tag team of all time.
I didn't know it existed. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it was. It was an exclusive. They were doing the Jax Classic 2-packs back in like 2006 through 2008, 2009. They did the Rock and Roll Express. They seriously botched the Rock and Roll Express. The Rock and Roll Express were guys that I would have loved to have done, but I believe that since they're in the Hall of Fame, they've got a merchandising deal with WWE now, so Mattel will probably wind up doing them. They did the Hollywood Blondes, the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, the British Bulldogs. You know, they did a lot of great 2-packs, but it's the only Blondes era Steve Austin. You know, they actually didn't cheap out on that one. They actually made a Stone Cold with like the wavy comb over and the beard and everything. And it looks great. They've got the vests on, and that one I've kept mint on card for everything that I've cracked open and put on display. I kept that one sealed.
Right.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. It is very cool. I'd say it's hard to find now, but Jax did some very cool figures as far as outside of the box thinking, you know, sometimes that's what it takes. And when you do, you know, how many Stone Colds can you do? So it's probably a nice change to do a Hollywood Blonde Stone Cold for them when they had the license.
And that's really why I wanted to go with the Jack style for our figures. A lot of people question that, saying, you know, Mattel is the current company. I mean, for one thing, there's no guarantee that we'd be able to do Mattel because you don't know what type of patents or trademarks they've got on that. You know, they're a huge company. Jack's, at least, is no longer making figures. So to make a style similar to them, it's not like you're competing with an existing product or running into anything like that. But Jack's, like you mentioned, has really gone above and beyond with the lineup they had, with the talent they've done. If you look at everything that was done just in those Ruthless Aggression molds, between the regular Ruthless set, the classic superstars, the exclusive, things like that, there's just a talent. You get everybody from King Mabel to Colin Delaney in that lineup, along with guys like John Cena and Batista and Randy Orton. Whereas Mattel, because it's, you know, the PG era now and you're gearing towards the kids, you're seeing the marketplace flooded with Roman and John Cena and Zack Ryder and guys like that. So, you know, if you go to any Target now, you see Tito Santana warming shelves, whereas the classic superstars used to fly off the shelves. So it's really funny just to kind of see the disconnect nowadays, where you've got the younger collectors that seem like they only grew up on Mattel or only want Mattel, but the diehards really love what we're doing because it fits in with all those previous figures that they've still got.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you mentioned you have released pictures of War Machine, which is, I have gone on record to say, they are my favorite tag team right now in any company. I love War Machine so much. The figures look absolutely great. But one thing I was wondering is, if you've seen Ring of Honor the past few weeks, or I don't know how long they've been doing it, but they come to the ring with helmets now. And I've seen a couple of different styles of helmets. Is there any chance that you all would ever, I know you wouldn't include it with the figures because they're probably already packaged and stuff, but are there any talks of doing accessories for four guys that have accessories that you didn't once release them with?
There's no talk of anything like geared towards a specific guy or anything like that. For the most part, the accessories are all fairly generic. But if it's something that makes sense to fit in line with multiple figures, so if, you know, if War Machine's wearing the helmets, which I have seen, I do watch ROH weekly. If we said, hey, there's more than one guy that uses this helmet, we could package this with this guy, we could re-release it with this guy. It is something that I can bring to the table. It's just a matter of getting, the budget and the clearance for production and everything, because even the littlest parts, obviously, they take time and money to make. So we'd just have to see if it makes sense to make two, because if we started making a helmet and it takes 6 months to a year to make, and then they go and change their gimmick again within that time, it's kind of like a waste to do it. So it's all about timing in certain instances. I love those figures. I think they're some of the best ones that we've done. With the accessories, with like the tights and the shoulder pads and everything, I think they look great. Would they look more complete with the helmets? Absolutely. I think they look even more standout and more fantastic. It's just a matter of the timing. Like, would it be worth it to put the money into it and then see if they're even still in Ring of Honor, if they're doing something else, if they change their gimmick wherever they wind up, if they split up, it's all that stuff comes into play. Kind of like how, you make the figures of guys and they wind up showing up in WWE. Like, the Bobby Fish has only been out for about a month and he just did the last NXT tapings. And then, not to play spoiler on the podcast, but there's supposedly rumors of things going on at NXT tonight. So it's all factored in. It's all factored into where our production is and what I'm trying to accomplish.
I completely understand that. Also, you released pictures of Matt Taven, who is, I love the Kingdom and the new Kingdom is there. I don't know. I mean, I guess they're just the Kingdom, but they've got new members now, but Matt Taven is great. Hopefully we'll get the other two guys as well.
Right now, someone did ask that. A lot of guys do get brought up based on current Ring of Honor. And like I mentioned, we've got up through Series 5 releases planned. So we kind of want to get those out first before we start developing any new lineups. I'd say probably maybe towards like the latter half of the year, fall, winter time, they'll probably say, hey, let's take a look and see what we can do for Ring of Honor. So at that point, I can start asking, hey, what's going on with Chris Daniels? What's going on with Silas Young? Other guys that we haven't seen yet that are getting pushed. Guys like the Kingdom, guys like Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay, they're still relatively new, even though it's been, 4 months, 6 months since they've debuted, it hasn't been enough time for me to get the okay to go after them. Because even if I said, hey, let's do them now, they're not going to start production until the other figures finish. Mm-hmm. So then at that point, it kind of falls in line with, is that guy still going to be there? How long is the contract? What attire are they going to wear? Is their gimmick going to change? Is their alignment going to change? So again, it just kind of all falls back on timing, which is sad, because the diehard fan in me wants to run to the factory and get Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay done ASAP.
Yes.
But it's just, I also have to be conscious of, our budget and where our production stands, because that falls in line with going after so many indie guys, because I'll proactively get emailed or messaged. I'll get recommendations. An idea will pop into my head, but it might just be, hey, we've got another 8 guys coming out in September or October. We've got to get those out first. Like, let's, plus it's not just wrestling stuff that's being made at our factory. DC Comics, Kiss, the Monkees, all that stuff is getting pumped out too. So, there's a lot on our plate, which I completely understand if the casual fan or the casual observer doesn't understand that. But that's why I try to do podcasts and be active on our social media and just let everybody know, not to delve into the politics of the world, but to kind of steal a quote, I'm trying to be as transparent as I can be with what we're doing, because I want the collectors to see it's not just us saying, hey, here are your figures and that's it. There's a diehard fan behind this, and that's me. Like, I've got passion for what I'm doing here. I'm not saying that you're going to love everything that I do, because let's face it, in a collector's world, there's never unison. You're always going to have someone who's got their own opinion on something. I've collected enough things through my life that I've loved and not liked, and that's going to fall in line with what I'm doing now. Not everyone's going to love every figure, but I'm putting an effort into every single one of them, whether it's talking to the wrestlers, getting approvals, getting the right attires down, getting the best head sculpt for them, doing whatever I can to do right, not only by our company, but by the guys that we're marketing and merchandising.
Yeah, that's very cool of you to be so open about it. It does clear up a lot of things. One thing that Michael Elgin's one of my favorites as well, unfortunately due to injury and other stuff. I don't see much of him anymore on TV, but y'all did do a figure of him, and originally he was with the Ring of Honor ring that y'all have, because y'all have a ring, y'all have barricades and chairs and everything to make a whole playset of Ring of Honor. But originally he was only included in the ring, and now you can actually buy him loose. Was that due to demand, or was that just always in the plan?
It was kind of like a factor of both. Like, we did always want to see if we could do him individually, you know, as like a show exclusive or something like that. Like, you know, maybe like having Ring of Honor have him, you know, autograph some and sell them on site or something like that. But then, you know, he left the company and he's doing primarily New Japan now. Mm-hmm. So to sell him separately, we wouldn't have been able to repackage him in like the ROH packaging or anything like that. You know, he's not there anymore. So we've got him loose, and it mainly kind of fills the void of people that want to keep the ring mint in box, but maybe display the figures, or maybe didn't want to buy a second ring for obvious reasons. You don't want to buy two rings just to get the figure. So we just wanted to make it cost effective for the collectors to fill all the holes in the line if they want the entire line and want to display some of them. Or, you know, people love the attire. If they wanted the additional attire, for, you know, for their own reasons, you know, if they wanted the figure on display, if they wanted a figure because they wanted it for a friend who only collects figures and not the rings and the playsets, you know, a variety of reasons. So, you know, the plan was always to try to get him out in a limited sense at some point. And at this point, you know, selling him loose individually seemed to be the best route.
One of the most talked about figures right now is Delirious. How fun of a figure was that to put together for you guys?
That is one of my favorite things that we've done. You know, to me, Delirious, he looks like a comic book character come to life. Yep. That was just such an amazing figure. Like, he really stands out. I mean, when you're making a wrestling line, you know, you're going to have guys in tights, guys in long tights, guys in short tights. And, you know, even though we're doing the attires, once you see so many guys in tights and t-shirts, you know, you might feel like you're looking at the same thing, and you don't want things to look too generic. And that's why I think that things like the sculpt on Bobby Fish really helps that figure pop. And then Tama Tonga having the war paint. So for Delirious, I mean, having a masked guy, you know, if you remember, you know, any Rey Mysterio figure or even a guy like Kalisto or Sin Cara, those figures really catch your attention when you see them just because they're so apart from the pack. So he really is a standout figure in every sense of the word. And I think that our design team really nailed it with, you know, the baggy pants and the vest and the tassels. I just think he looks fantastic all around.
Absolutely. He's great. Yeah, I can't agree more. So in kind of wrapping up here, you know, thanks for coming on, and you've really brought just a lot of insight to the figure making process and everything. But if people are wondering, do you guys sell to stores, or is it mainly an online thing? I know in some, there was a novelty store kind of here in my town, and I used to see the Batman figures, but do the wrestling figures ever make it to market?
We do offer wholesale. I actually oversee quite a few of our wholesale accounts. So if anyone is interested in wholesaling, you know, we're always happy to speak to them. Like I said, it's not mass retail just because our production numbers are nowhere near someone like Mattel or Marvel or Hasbro or anything like that. So, you know, we wouldn't be able to fill every Target across the U.S. with our figures. But like a novelty shop, a comic shop, a hobby shop, you know, a wrestling shop or a sports shop, you know, we're more than willing to wholesale. Pretty much, I'd say about 90% of our items are all available, and that includes the wrestling figures. So if there was a store that you frequent, or if anyone's listening and wants them for their shop, the only thing that we won't wholesale is if someone has an Amazon or an eBay store, just because in addition to our online sites, we have our own official Amazon and eBay stores. So it's kind of like competing with our own product. It's really not fair to wholesale to someone when we're already selling on there ourselves. But as far as getting them out to an actual storefront, yeah, 90% of our stuff, we're more than willing to talk wholesale with somebody.
Nice. So you've already given us a heads up for the future. I urge everybody to go to figurestoycompany.com, look at their wrestling figures, and look at all their figures. You will really be amazed at how many figures they have out. And they're not only the figures, but the accessories to the figures. That shouldn't be overlooked, because that's just as good as the figures. I mean, like I said, you can buy a whole pack of Ring of Honor belts as well. Is it every championship that Ring of Honor has?
It's the world title, the tag team title, and the television title. So there's no six-man title on there. Okay. And it's all the modern versions of the titles, no classic versions or anything. Whether that happens in the future remains to be seen. But you can get the figure belts individually, or if you keep things mint on card, if you are a collector that likes to hang them on a shelf or hang them on the wall, there is a championship belt accessory pack that comes with the figure titles mint on card for your display purposes.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but these are clamshells, so can you pop them back into the pack if you want?
Oh, yeah. Yep. That, for anyone who doesn't know, and you'll see it as you notice the figures on our site, most people are used to, you know, getting a figure and just tearing it off the back of the card or tearing a box open. All of our figures, wrestling figures, DC figures, they're in resealable plastic clamshells, so they come sealed, they come zip-tied. All you've got to do is snip the zip-tie. But then you can pop the clamshell open. The card backing is actually sealed within the clamshell itself, so you're not going to damage it when you pry it apart. And then if you're someone that wants to put the figure away for safety, keep it clean, you know, closing up a display, whatever the case may be, you can put it back in the clamshell, keep the figure sealed, and it's back to being mint on card.
That's genius. That really is genius. Well, if there's anything else you want to promote, feel free. You know, but other than that, we just really appreciate you coming on, Chris. And you can, do you have a Twitter and anything you want to promote?
Oh, sure. I mean, I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, and anytime you want to have me back, whether it's to talk figures or talk wrestling in general, more than happy to do so. Our company website, which you've already mentioned, is figurestoycompany.com. We also own and operate wrestlingsuperstore.com. It's really just a sister site that focuses mostly on the wrestling merchandise that we've had and still carry. MyFaceOnAFigure.com is also owned and operated by Figures Toy Company. That's done through Tony, who's my partner on the wrestling line, but that's where you can get a customized action figure of yourself. So whether you're a wrestling fan and want your own wrestling figure, if you're a comics fan and want to be a DC hero, if your father's a fireman and you want to get him a nice birthday present and put him in a fireman's outfit, there's a whole slew of options that you can do through that website. Following us on social media, if you are on Facebook and or Instagram, you can find us through the company name. So Figures Toy Company and Wrestling Superstore on both of those sites, you'll be able to find us. If you're on Twitter, it's at Figures Toy Co. It's at @WRES_Superstore for Wrestling Superstore. And then my personal Twitter, which is really just me talking a lot about what I do and you know, a lot of pop culture and a lot of zingers and whatnot, is at Zach Malibu, my nickname, ZACKMALIBU.
Great, Chris. And we will probably definitely have you on again to talk figures if you're willing, because this is a fun part of what we are doing on the podcast here lately. So we really appreciate you coming on tonight.
Before you leave, though, I'm going to drop something in your ear. And it may lead to nothing, and it may not be anything. But all I know is that, you know, with the WWE or whatever the new game is, 2K17, whatever. I'm not a video guy. So
I love John trying to describe this, by the way.
It's like, I don't know. I just know that that they got Devon Erickson there, and they've got Michael Hayes, and they've got Buddy Roberts, but they didn't have Terry Gordy. And that was a big deal. And Michael Hayes was getting a lot of buzz about that on his Twitter, and he let loose that Terry's not in there because his family didn't come to terms. So that seems to me that apparently that WWE didn't have a lock, stock, and barrel on Terry Gordy's likeness.
And he'd be someone, again, being a world-class fan, I'd love to do him. I just wonder about that because he did have a Jax figure. They did do a Freebirds 3-pack for Walmart.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it would almost kind of like be being like copying the same style. Although, from what I remember, that wasn't the greatest head scan of him.
No, it wasn't. It was. They weren't.
You know, and same thing with the Von.
I'm just doing it for a purpose. The Freebirds are my thing. You say Brian Pillman, George, the Freebirds are mine, and I haven't got any good Freebird figures. Okay, let's just put that out there. I haven't got them. Jared Gordy's my favorite member of the team. So,
I mean, he'd be high on my list because there's a lot of guys that, I mean, I'd love to be able to do a classic style, NWA, WCW, Steiner Brothers. I'd love to be able to do Stan Hansen. I mean, I'd run the gamut of guys from, the 80s through the 90s. I know you're trying to wrap up. The big thing with the legends, if you notice, is a lot of the guys that were active more in the late 80s and the 90s, the ECW guys and Conan and Hoovy and stuff, just because those are the guys that are still out and about doing the convention circuit, making appearances. So for merchandising purposes, for marketing purposes, that tends to get us the most buzz. But sure, a guy like Terry Gordy, Eddie Gilbert mentioned before, Chris Candido, Bam Bam Bigelow, those are all guys that would be a great fit. It would just be a matter of, if we're in the place to get them, whatever the terms may be and whatever we need to do as far as our, what's that?
Terry Funk.
There's been a lot of Terry's done. I love Terry to death.
There has been a lot.
Has there been?
Yeah.
I have one. I have the one, I don't know when it was put out, but it's his 80s run. Where he had the branding iron and the red
that came out like about a year or two ago. Mattel just did him. Yeah, that sounds like the Mattel one.
Yeah, that's right.
Jax did him a few times too.
I think they even did a Chainsaw Charlie one too, if I'm not mistaken.
Did they? Really?
Yeah, with the red shirt and the jeans.
Yeah, we are wrapping up, but I also want to mention, as long as we're on this making figures thing, Ian Riccoboni is actually a really good friend of ours, and he is now the voice of Ring of Honor. So, and he is a huge figure collector. So, just throwing that out there, since you all do so good accessories, if you ever do an announcer pack, he would be a good one to have in there.
It's actually Ian. Actually, believe it or not, drove me back to my hotel when I went out to War of the Worlds a couple of years ago. I'll leave you with this little story before we wrap up. This is how cool Ring of Honor has been to deal with. My son, who is 2.5, he was born preemie. He was 2 months early. So when he was born, we actually didn't even get to finish his nursery and everything yet, just because of the emergency of the situation. And in all the years I've worked at Figures Toy Company, I never bought or took home a replica belt, not for WWE, WCW. It just wasn't my thing. I was a figure and a DVD guy. And my boss called me up and he said, listen, I know you're doing the baby's nursery. I'm sending you whatever belt you want to put on his wall. He's like, we're giving you a gift. We're going to give you a belt for his wall. And I said, all right, well, send me the classic Ring of Honor title. I love that title, the one with the big red lettering. And I reached out to Ring of Honor and I said, listen, I said, I'm not expecting a lot, but if I can send this to your office when the guys come in to film promos or whatever, can you have a couple of them sign the strap just so it's something cool so that my son can grow up with? And they said, well, do you one better? Are you able to get away for a day or two? And I said, yeah. I said, everything's fine on the home front. He's back home. He's doing okay. And they said, come out to Philly. You're invited to War of the Worlds. Come out and meet everybody from Honor in Japan. And not only did they have me out to the shows, but they actually brought me into the locker room to shake hands with everybody and have pretty much everybody that was booked on those shows sign the belt for him. So at age 2, he's got a replica title belt signed by AJ, by Nakamura, by Liger, by Elgin, by Delirious, by the Young Bucks, by Adam Cole. You name it, and he's got a pretty cool collectible. So Ian, actually, I met there that weekend, and he actually drove me back to my hotel. And the funniest thing about it is mentioning the Ring of Honor guys and the announcers. I'm friendly with Bobby Cruz, the ring announcer, because he's a New England guy, and I've met him for ages, and he's always kind of like, needling me. He's like, when are you gonna do the ring announcer Bobby Cruz and Todd Sinclair 2-pack, huh? When are you gonna do these guys? We're just as important as the wrestlers, so now we've got to throw Ian in the mix. Now we've got a 3-pack going, so now we'll have to see.
That's right.
Well, we can do like Mandy Leon and do like the ringside 4-pack or something.
That's right. Well, Chris, it's been great talking to you, and we hope to have you on again. Thank you for coming on, sir.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And that was our interview with Chris DiPietrillo. What a great guy, and we will definitely have him on in the near future. So I wanted to wrap up here and tell you all about our Patreon account. You can go to www.patreon.com/thewrestlingroundtable. We've got some cool things over there. I've just added a few bonus things to look at over there. For as little as $5, guys, you can help us out and get some great content as well. If you can't do that, we totally understand, so leave us a review. Go to iTunes, leave a review there, and that will help out immensely. Don't forget about the Amazon store through the Earth Station 1 podcast network. And I wanted to give you a little teaser about our next podcast. It will be about the wrestling boom in the United Kingdom. That's right. We've got two special guests that know a lot about the subject, and it's going to be a great lesson about stuff that you may or may not know about. So I hope you are looking forward to that, and we will talk to you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.